The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. If your energy level and health are not where they should be, tune into Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Our program will showcase experts from the field of energy medicine, and most importantly, we'll show you how to repattern and optimize your energy flow for optimal health and wellness. Now, here is Dr. Ann Deatley.
You have tuned into Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. And today's topic is soul-inspired transformation. Most often, our lives are run by our egos. When our egoic agendas conflict with our higher purpose, we don't connect with living at our highest potential and living on purpose. We don't resonate with living a soul-inspired life. Life is tough, and we struggle to survive. But more and more people today want to create a new life of new possibilities. People with terminal or chronic diseases or unhappy life situations want to transform their lives. Discovering his or her soul's purpose is an enlightening journey that could rock anyone's present existence for the better. Connecting with the soul's purpose may not be an easy or a quick journey, but it will certainly open up a whole new dimension in living. Insight and clarity about life and a new direction will help shed what is not working. The new direction and increased level of living could help connect to the heart and soul in a way to enlighten a journey of magical living. This enlightenment will lead to living even more radiantly. William Whitecloud, and I'm very honored to have him with me today, and he is the author of Magician's Way and The Last Shaman. His passion and purpose is to educate the reality that we all have the power to create whatever we love. William's own rich experience of transforming his life from terminal illness and suffering to living a magical and fulfilling life with creative inspiration enables him to meet people where they are. Since the late 80s, when at rock bottom, William embarked on a quest to discover how to create the life of his dreams. The quest led him to the alchemical principles of Hermetic philosophy and the ideas of Robert Fritz, founder of Technologies for Creating. Both modalities showed how to direct the subconscious mind to create a desired reality. After his life transformation, William was inspired to create Living from Greatness, a personalized course to empower participants to discover and live their highest potential. He lives in San Francisco, where he lets his life unfold by magic. And you can learn more about William at www.williamwhitecloud.com. Welcome, William.
Hey, thank you, Anne. Great introduction. I'm down in my seat here after that. I love the term radiant. I mean, what an expression to apply to, you know, just great living and living in line with our highest destiny. I mean, that's just amazing. So thanks for having me here and giving me your good energy.
Oh, well, you're most welcome. And we're just so happy that you're here because you are going to lift us up to a higher level. I can just tell by your energy.
I hope so.
I think you live radiantly.
Oh, absolutely. I do. I'm not shy to say that I do.
Okay, good. I think we should all be, we should all celebrate that we have that capability, right?
Oh, we all have it, absolutely. And I know, you know, I know that for a fact because I have lived very unradiantly. I've lived the opposite of radiantly. I've lived in every respect that in the dregs, in the gutter, in the ditch, I mean, figuratively, of course, but you know, I've lived the low points of life profoundly and for a long time, and totally unaccidentally turned that around. I mean, with great deliberation, intent, and applying learnings and skill, have created the very opposite of that. So, you know, this is not a cliche that we're talking about here. This is real potential, real possibility. I've taught thousands of people, you know, to achieve that. I'm not just talking, giving them books to read or giving them information, but I mean, participated in their transformations, in profound transformations. So, you know, no one can enroll me against the human spirit. Not a chance.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And today we are going to help empower people to realize that they can do that too.
Fabulous. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. So let's talk about when you were in the ditches and in at rock bottom in your life. Just to show the listeners where you were and how far you've come.
Well, I was, you know, I mean, principally, I was very sick for 10 years. That's a long time to be sick and to be chronically ill. And it started quite innocuously where I just felt a mild discomfort. But, it, you know, I just descended and descended into this nightmarish illness. And the worst thing about it was that nobody could diagnose what was wrong with me. And I'm sure you can appreciate that, and even anyone listening can appreciate that, this is that when you get sick, you'll never be short of people who think they know what's wrong with you, you see. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing was that nobody could figure out what was wrong with me. I mean, acupuncturists, complementary healthcare workers, energetic workers, medical doctors, clinicians. I was seeing professors in universities, psychiatrists, psychologists. Nobody ever said to me, I know what's wrong with you. I was hoping they would. I was hoping I'd come across psychiatrist to say, look, you know, there's something wrong with your head and that's causing all this, you know, you screwed up, man. Wouldn't even say that, you know, and so it was a terrible situation because it was really hopeless and a very powerless situation other than these chronic horrible symptoms that I was suffering from, really ill. And, you know, I mean, I knew I was dying because in the end I was getting deathbed counseling. And when you know, someone's sitting by your bedside preparing you for the other side, mm-hmm. you know, you sort of go, God, this isn't going well.
yeah.
And we laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny. I was freaked out, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see, so then. Anyway, all I did, and traveled the world looking for answers and cures and whatever. And then finally, in the darkest night of the soul, in the worst situation, I met a guy, just by chance, you could say, in the street. And we got talking. Somehow we got talking. And he said to me, I know what's wrong with you. And now he was a young man, and he was a strapping, fit, muscly young man. Healthy as an ox, and he's going there. I had what you had. He claimed that he knew what I had, and not only know what I had, he had had it himself. And then when he recounted to me what his experience was and the symptoms and everything he'd gone through, I knew with absolute certainty that he had had it. It was just remarkable because in 10 years, nobody not only could diagnose what was wrong with me, they couldn't even relate to what I was saying. With blank expressions, you know, I'd try and explain the pain I was in or the psychological mood I was in or just whatever, and nobody could figure me out. You'd think, well, you know, I can relate to your headache. Yes, I've had a headache, but nothing. No one could relate to me. And this guy, we could just so relate.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I had a great connection with him through this. And he said to me, look, buddy, you know, everything you're doing now and all the people you're seeing and everything they're telling you is killing you. That's what's doing this, is they're killing you, and you must stop doing this at once. I've got a cure for you, and if you follow it, you'll be better in no time, and you'll be, you know, totally fine. And his cure was this. He said, you must start eating red meat, and you must start drinking white wine with your meals, and you must have a few cups of coffee every day, and very importantly, you must smoke a few cigarettes every day.
Oh, really?
And the thing about that is that, you know, as you can appreciate, you're aghast now to hear that, and everyone is. While nobody in 10 years knew what was wrong with me, every single one of them would have agreed that that was just nonsense, that was, in fact, even at the stage I was in and the state I was in, that was a prescription for suicide, you know. But I didn't care. I just had enough, you know. I could relate to this guy. I had some sense of trust in him. But more than that, even, I just figured, you know what? What the hell? I'm just tired of just, you know, trying mm-hmm. to stay alive here and struggle. I'm just sick of the struggle. So I started eating red meat with relish, and you know, I bought a pack of cigarettes and started smoking, and I bought a wine and having some coffees every day. And I bounced back to health like just incredibly fast. It was days, you know.
Oh my gosh!
I was, in the end, I was sleeping 22 hours a day. That's how little energy I had.
Mm-hmm.
And within days, I was just, you know, normal. I was having 8 hours sleep, and I was skin and bones. I had a constant tension headache. It went away. I had no memory. I couldn't remember anything. I used to have to carry notes to myself to who I was, where I lived, because I just couldn't even remember stuff like that.
Wow.
I could carry on for hours about how the chronic state I was in, and just how, you know, it was relieved instantly. And, you know, I mean, 90% you could say of my health or energy came back in days, literally. And then the rest, it took a few months for me to be, you know, fully healthy and get my weight back and whatever. But you see, the thing about that, and which is you can appreciate what a remarkable experience that is in a person's life. And for me.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if I could ever point to a more profound point in my life or a more profound experience, memorable, stunning, astonishing experience in life. And so it had a profound impact on me. But the thing about it is that the curious thing is that I never, ever imagined that there was any efficacy in the meat and the wine and nicotine and caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
I just never got, that's what cured me, or that there's anything to do with it. What struck me was like my road to Damascus, the blinding light on the road to Damascus experience. There was this impression that I had. It just struck me in a stunning kind of way that what it was there must be some way in which we focus, that we pay attention or focus, that then creates our reality because of our experience of life. Because there I was with a certain kind of focus on being sick and trying to get healing and having this experience of no one being able to help me, and that intensifying and the sense of powerlessness that I, you know, in the end became steeped in, which then was a vicious circle, which just kept creating this reality in a deeper and deeper way. When I let go of it, you know, when I just stopped caring about all of that, suddenly my experience and my reality changed. Now, I don't know if that was an accurate conclusion to come to out of that, whether that was the conclusion to draw in truth, but it is the conclusion that I drew. And then from that, I went, you know, I want to find out how this principle works, because I understand that it works in some way like this. I don't know how, though, and I don't know how to work this principle so that I can have the very opposite of this experience. But from that point on, then I undertook to, you know, discover what was behind what I had come to, and how I could work it effectively to, as I say, you know, just create the very opposite, to create the health, wealth, love, abundance, radiance, as you would put it, Anne.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So So let's talk a little bit about that principle. So, you know, let's state it clearly, the principle that you're talking about, that letting go, I guess, of the principle of letting go and just, you know, not forcing things to happen, that principle.
Of just letting go and not forcing things to happen. Well, you see, I mean, it's I think it's that principle is contained within a more profound principle. You know, it's just a case of focus that what we you know. And I've just seen this over and over again in my own life, and I've trained people in this and serve them in working with this. Is that, you know, it's gospel almost that what if you have an experience, let me put it in reverse. If you have an experience in life, good or bad, that experience, you can put it down to anything, but really what it fundamentally most at a really foundational level, what has brought that experience about is somehow your attention and your focus has been such that it's attracted that experience or that reality. What your subconscious mind, if you want to call it that, because whatever your terminology for that creative force within us, that creative spirit, that is the manifesting principle, I call it the subconscious. And whatever picture that your subconscious is given, it will manifest with absolute integrity. We have a saying that structure has integrity. And what that means is that the foundation of anything will determine what can be created on top of it, out of it, whatever. And so nothing will come out of your consciousness and be created into your reality other than the picture that your subconscious is seeing. But you see, it's not as simple as that. To say that, and people grab onto this, but then they become half wise because they haven't got the deeper nature and story behind this principle. Because then people think, oh, well, you know, if I'm sick and I just think I'm healthy, or visualize health and wish for health and pray for health, then I'll get healthy. Or if, you know, I want some money, or I must just picture a bag of money and that'll float into my life. And now with the law of attraction and the secret and all these things that had great prominence over quite a few years now, we have some research and data to show for people's experience with these principles. Shallower level I'm talking about, people who just go, well, if I just imagine a beautiful soulmate, they'll just knock on my door. And if I imagine a bunch of money, it'll just turn up. I can tell you from worldwide experience, I travel the world and I deal with thousands of people, and I know that people either find that they don't create what they want or they don't sustain it. They have it and then they lose it. And in many cases, people tell me, you know, this stuff doesn't work, because they actually have a worse experience than they were having before with whatever, you know, aspect of their life they're trying to fix up in that. And the thing is about that, the deeper secret to know about all of this is just simply that what you self-consciously think of isn't necessarily what you focus of, just to use the cliche of you know, focusing on money, say, a bigger income or whatever. So there you are thinking about money all the time, and you think, well, that's what I'm thinking of. That's the picture in my mind, so therefore that's the picture in my subconscious. But your self-conscious, actually, if you think of an iceberg, they say that what you see of an iceberg is 10%. 90% of an iceberg is under the water. And so it is with your consciousness, that your self-consciousness isn't even the tip of the iceberg. It's the tip of the iceberg, actually. And what you're seeing in your self-conscious is the very least of what's going on in your consciousness. And what's really going on in your consciousness in terms of your focus is that what is in your self-consciousness is being promoted by deeper forces at play there, deeper belief systems, desires, or whatever, you see. And so you could have a whole lot of fears, limiting beliefs, whatever, limitation that you are trying to compensate for, that you're not self-conscious of. You're just at the end of the production line where you're just going about your behaviors, mm-hmm. not realizing what's motivating those behaviors. What is motivating those behaviors is what your real focus is. So it's like your values, it's your motivation, it's your reason for wanting the money, it's your reason for wanting the love or whatever, you see. And if the motivation behind that is fear, is limitation, whatever, underneath that iceberg, deeper down in your consciousness, that's got a lot more energy and a lot more power than what's going on in your self-consciousness, though you don't feel it, because at a self-conscious level you feel emotions and thoughts and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not really what's going on, you see. So your point about letting go is how things can change for people so powerfully is that while they're trying to, you know, ram things through and use force in their life and, mm-hmm. and control things in their life, promoting these unconscious dynamics and that then produce that the subconscious sees that it's looking at your whole consciousness and sees the powers in all these negative things, actually then is creating those negative things as a reflection in your external world, in your reality. And so when people just give up things, they'll come to the conclusion that you shouldn't want things because God, it just got better because now I don't want anything. And so then I start to think that, well, will's bad or things like that. But actually what's just happened is they've just let go of a negative agenda that they didn't appreciate was there. And mm-hmm. so the trick of creating is not to just give up on creating. The trick to being a powerful creator is not to be someone who just doesn't want things in life and who doesn't care about and gives up your will. It's about learning the deeper dynamics of what's going on in your consciousness and being able to put the power in deeper, more authentic drives, desires, aspirations, etc.
I agree, yeah. I mean, if we could just get a window into what all that is under the water or the big part of the iceberg. Okay, we're going to cut for a commercial. We'll be right back.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN. Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness. You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, and we are talking to William White Cloud, who is the author of The Magician's Way and The Lost Shaman. So, William, we were just talking about our subconscious and how that directs our behavior and directs our lives. So let's go into how, if we could uncover what that is, we would really be able to live at our highest potential.
Exactly. And this has been my kind of life study and life work and life practice actually as well. And the new book that I've brought out, The Lost Shaman, addresses this, because what a lot of people are finding is that they're learning all these very empowering principles about manifesting and creating and becoming really the predominant creative force in their life, and then have difficulty working with that and don't understand why it can become such a struggle to, you know, create whatever they want to create, and even why become perplexed as to why it actually can cause a lot of conflict and tensions in their lives. And it's just that they don't really have the deeper awareness to drive this. And so that's what the Lost Shaman is addressing, I think, very powerfully, is, you know, just teaching people what it takes to have the awareness then to drive this powerful manifesting principle that we now have available to us. And the, you know, just straightforward, it's just having the awareness, it's having the ability to just look into your consciousness and to be able to see the forces that are at play there, and then, you know, just have that deeper awareness and understanding of which force will take you, you know, which one's going to lead you to getting stuck or lead you to an oscillating structure or take you backwards, and which one is going to take you to basically to, you know, be in line with your highest destiny and really just take you to what you, and I love the way what you call it, the, you know, radiant living, basically.
Mm-hmm. So in the book, what I loved was the main character is invited to go to their innocence, the level of their innocence. So can you tell a little bit more about that?
Sure. And you see, and just to answer that, I'll just talk about creativity. Mm-hmm. Just for a minute, is that as a foundation to that innocence, is the thing that's going to sustain us and help our lives grow and you know, bring us to radiant living, is when we are in touch with who we are authentically and what we are truly connected to and what we truly exist to serve, and that the talents and abilities that we naturally have to serve that. And so, you know, the creative orientation, and I'll put it to you, what you would call the radiant orientation, mm-hmm. it's love orientations where you serve your heart, what you love. And you see, what that is free of your egoic agendas. And by egoic agendas, I mean that when we're born, we take on a belief system, and it's largely a belief system of limitation. I mean, it's ideas that we're not worthy, that we're not good enough, that we don't have the power.
We have to work hard to get what we want.
Exactly. We don't have the capability. So then what you see is a that sets up a compensating tendency where we're trying to compensate for that incompleteness, that limitation. And you see, just straight away, if you've been listening to what we're talking about before, that's when the subconscious sees, well, that's where the power is. So it reinforces it. So it reinforces the belief. So then you try even harder to compensate for that. And, you know, so that is a rational faculty. It's a product of your rational It's a product of your rational faculties. The part of you, the ego, that put those belief systems together and took from your experience and put your beliefs together is essentially the rational mind. And so when you approach life rationally and by approaching life rationally, what I mean is that you try and work your life out. You know, you're faced with circumstances and you think, well, I've got to work this out and I've got to cope with it. But the problem is that the part of your mind that thinks that and wants to approach life like that, in that way, has created these beliefs. And instead of looking at how life is now and what the situation is in this moment and what's relevant in this situation and what connections can be made and possibilities can be seen into and insights can be gained, it just looks retrospectively to your belief systems for the answers as to how to approach it now, whatever's going on in this situation. And it's way of living. So to get out of that, to get into the radiant way of life, to get into the soul-inspired way of life, the territory of your genius, of your inspired self and your creative self is outside of that. And you have to have the ability. I mean, innocence is just, you know, William Blake defines it, doesn't he, through his poetry. And he has the poems of innocence and he has the poems of experience. And if you read those poems, you get the picture. Innocence is a state of being that is born outside of experience. It doesn't refer predominantly to experience. It relates and refers to inherent connection to everything through all time and space, so that you go into the space, and to go into that space of innocence, you let go of your need to understand, to cope, to control. You soften your focus and you allow yourself to receive it. Like we started the conversation about letting go. You just let go. And in that let go space, in that let go territory, then there's a whole new dimension of awareness that occurs to you. It's another mode of awareness. It's intuition, you see, and outside of perception. Perception, as I see it, is through thoughts and feelings, and that expresses our egoic orientation, and it's our egoic mode of awareness. Intuition is our soul mode of awareness, and the bridge to intuition is in innocence, where you let go of what you let go of your need to understand, need to know. And then this new information occurs to you. And this new information is way above old information. It's fresh. Mm-hmm. It'll be fresh. You know, it'll always be a fresh perspective. It's almost like when you step into innocence and you go into intuition, it often feels like going into a cold shower or something, because it's just such a fresh, you almost gasp, because it's such a fresh perspective. And it's, you know, it gives you a real insight into what's really going on. And, you know, you sit there and you make the connections that otherwise you wouldn't have made. And you have the insights and the inspirations and the inventiveness. It's just a phenomenal principle.
It's like an opening a door.
Yes.
That was locked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you have like a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at things, and a new energy, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's all new. It's something new is really stimulating and exciting. And
it's so effective. You know, if you look at successful people, but I'm talking really successful people, people that have lived amazing lives and made great contributions to the human race as well, you know, and served themselves so highly and served the environment. And, we could all agree, if I just rattle off a few names, Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, Richard Branson as an entrepreneur, Bono, the singer from U2 as a musician, say, I could go on and on. Mm-hmm. But think about these people, Steve Jobs,
and Gandhi.
Gandhi, you can take a whole bunch of different, but we'll all see that they're great people in that. And if you just look at them, these are not people that lived in the old TikTok, orientation. These people lived outside of the boundaries, in territory that we're talking about. And believe it or not, they live to a great degree in innocence. That, you know, a lot of what they come up with at first doesn't make sense to people. You know, it doesn't. And yet, as they follow this almost crazy path, they come up with brilliant music, brilliant business ideas, brilliant political, social movements, whatever, you know. And you know, we don't have to be Nelson Mandelas or anything, but we can live brilliant lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the radiant life is the life lived in that territory.
Right. And, you know, I think of it as they break through. People just break through the normalness, the normal standard that most people live at. They break through that.
They have no tolerance for it. They don't. They are not cowed by it. They're not. But the thing is, you see, it's a brilliant way of living and a brilliant way of creating, a brilliant way of going about your life. It's a brilliant orientation. The thing is, though, is that it's been important for me to write the Last Shaman because it's not as easy as it sounds. The thing is that, you know, if you just go into innocence, if someone just goes into innocence now, their rational, you have not seen all the information and the ideas and insights and whatever that exist out, you know, in innocence. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen them because you've kept yourself, your rational mind, your ego has kept you contained in the consistent worldview. And if you step out of that, you know, it's in conflict with that rational framework. It absolutely is. And so your rational mind doesn't want you to see that way because it's got a lot invested in you having had this consistent worldview, this consistent orientation and you know, limited worldview and behavior and whatever. And so it's gonna be confronting. And so you know, there's an education process in bridging from the rational to the intuitive, from living a mundane life to living a magical life. It really is a journey and a lesson. And the journey and the lesson of the Last Shaman.
So the way you use magic, so let's talk about that. So living a magical life is living outside those boundaries.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You see, Colin Wilson, who I think is the world's foremost commentator on magic, he's written 80 books. Subject, and he's brilliant, you know, and he just says, look, the definition of magic is what I totally agree with, is that it's the ability to live your life guided by intuition, and you know, it's just as simple as that, basically.
So let me just point the direction. Let's talk about the Last Shaman. It teaches the wisdom about uncovering and transcending the unconscious fears that sabotage our ability to know, manifest, and sustain our soul-inspired dreams. And the premise is that we're in this book, that we're all guided by a higher force or power, and that is available to everybody, and we can follow that guidance to the richest life possible, and this is the magic you're talking about.
Yep.
So how do we connect? How do you suggest that we connect to the guidance?
The thing is that as I was saying, you know, magic is the ability to live your life guided by intuition, and also it brings up another definition of magic then, because if you live that way, you have this radiant life, this brilliant life where everything just is beautiful and goes
just beaming, right?
Things happen in a surprising way, and it's an ecstatic way of life in many ways, although you never lose your humanness. But, you know, to me, the thing is, and it is the central theme of The Last Shaman, is this point. And to me, it's just the most fascinating point. To me, it's not as fascinating as that, you know, people have seen matter particles in two places at once, and that aliens are visiting us in crop circles or whatever phenomenon exists. It doesn't to me beat the fact, the truth, is that every single person on earth is being guided every second of their day. It's just that for most people, they go from the cradle to the grave virtually, never having partaken of that guidance. And it's, you know, it's incumbent on us actually to, it's not going to happen by a fluke. It's not just going to drop out of the sky for the, you know, the vast majority of us. It's something that it's a journey we're going to have to go on and actually learn and develop the ability to appreciate that we're being guided, receive that guidance, and most importantly, act on it to go beyond the fear of that this is irrational, you see, and then actually follow it.
So yeah, trust it.
You're asking me how do we connect with this guidance, and it's just simply it's simply a function of what I was saying before is changing your orientation. That's why I say, you know, I don't have actually a pat answer and a glib answer, an easy answer that will allow anyone listening to suddenly now, apply their
flip on the switch. Yeah.
what it does take, and it takes some training in this, but essentially what you're going to do is you're going to go from an orientation in which you try to understand everything and work everything out into a state, having an ability to not need to know. At critical moments in your life, you know, when you're in conflict or you want to know things, or, you know, just like normally when we want to formulate a strategy for anything in our lives, our tendency is to straight away need to understand, work out, research, etc. But a magician, let's call it, someone who lives their life by magic, the first thing they do is give up everything they know. It's like Fariduddin Attar, who the great Sufi poet who wrote The Conference in the Birds. He said in The Conference of the Birds, if anyone ever asks you how to do something, first thing to tell them is to forget everything they ever did before. You see, so it's to go into the space of not knowing and you will get the knowing that you need to get. It's not to say you don't have to formulate anything rationally or do some research, but the first thing to get is to get an intuitive foundation. And so you're going to go from a space of a constant need. If you now, anyone listening, just monitors yourself from this point just for half a day as you go through your process, you will just suddenly realize how much you are addicted to or conditioned to needing to know. You're just all the time wanting to understand things, wanting to work out.
And yeah, this is what I mean by letting go. Yeah.
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 Exactly. This is real letting go is where you don't need. It's like me when I was sick. The thing that was killing me was I needed to know. I needed to understand it. And the less I knew and the more people told me, we don't know what's wrong with you, the more desperate I became to know. Instead of going, well, let me not know what's wrong with me. Let me just let it go. I don't need to understand this. If I knew what I know now, and I think I've avoided quite a few illnesses and bad circumstances now, because as I go into crises, the opposite happens to me now is rather than go, God, I need to know what's going on and talk to people and see what their opinions are and all that. First thing I do is go, I don't need to fix this. I don't need to know anything. Mm-hmm. And the wisdom occurs to me and the guidance. But have I got time to just say a couple of things?
Yeah. I mean, we're a little over time for our commercial, but go ahead.
We can talk about it after the commercial.
Okay. All right. We'll break now and we'll just don't forget. And we'll be right back with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health, and we're being inspired by William White Cloud. And William has some words of wisdom for us.
No, you see, because what you asked me, Anne, was what can people do? But there actually is something that people can practically do to begin developing their intuition and also
That inner guidance, connecting,
Literal guidance. Mm-hmm. And that's actually to start doing, to keeping a journal and actually doing written guidance. And written guidance is just a practice, the way I practice it, is where you actually just meet an imaginary person who will give you guidance, who will tell you all about yourself and what you need to know and what steps you need to take and, you know, just whatever you need to know to be in line with your highest destiny. And it's a function of imagination. You just write it down. You imagine that you're with this being. You imagine asking them the best questions are general ones, because often what people do is they go and they get guidance and, you know, they're trying to force an issue. They want to know, you know, whether their boyfriend's cheating on them or when they're going to make money and how they can get the promotion. And it's, you know, it's just that egoic gender, which is just going to sabotage them. And so the best thing to do always is just be open and, you know, just imaginatively write down what this person is telling you and don't discount it. The worst thing to do is go, oh, I'm just making that up or that can't be true, is actually just don't censor it. Just write it. And it's an incredible thing is that when you keep that journal and then what you start doing is you write and you write and then every day that you do write, you look back 2 weeks and see what you wrote 2 weeks ago. And you'll just start seeing what incredible integrity there is in this process and in your intuition and in your guidance. And I can't tell you how guidance has served me. Just this process, never mind the other techniques I have. And in the book, actually, in The Last Shaman, there is I do give away a download of a guided meditation.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Yeah. Tell them about that. Yeah.
Meditations in the book that I give away that you can then, you know, download. And they're just fabulous for raising your vibration, to bringing you into a radiant, level of
consciousness. Yeah.
For doing guidance, all sorts of things.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah. And I really love the book and I recommend it highly to people. Okay. So what other words of wisdom do we need to share? You want to talk a little bit about the book, the story, maybe to kind of give them an idea of the,
well, you know, it's a great story.
Yeah, it's a great story. And it takes place in Africa. And I think you lived in Africa. Is that true?
I did. I was born in Africa and grew up there. And I was back visiting my brother some years ago. And I was looking for a story that would convey these principles that are conveyed in The Last Shaman. And I met a man there, through my brother actually, who is he's South Africa's foremost rock art expert, you know, Bushman painting expert. And he took me into the field with a pair of divining rods. And just like what they use to find water, he uses in these canyons to find these cave paintings. And he told me the story behind them, you know, and some of them are 6,000 years old and beautiful paintings. And they're all stories about shamans, about healers, you know, going, traveling into the other world and doing battle on the other side with the evil spirits and reconfiguring reality on the other side so that there's a corresponding harmony created on our side in our waking world, as it were. And I just thought, you know, what a great story. I'm going to use this, a story of someone who goes into the other world and, you know, has their whole life rearranged there and comes back. And that's how it is on this side. And it's a great tradition because at the end of the day, Alice in Wonderland is such a story. You know, the Wizard of Oz, Narnia, the Narnia Chronicles.
Mm-hmm. They're all Harry Potter.
Harry Potter is, because he goes into that dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, tremendous. So yeah, so Africa was an interesting. That was a very interesting part of it, I thought, and believable that they live very differently.
Yeah, totally. And you know, they do. They have, although in some sense, it in the book, it's to the extreme of how different it can be. But it can be like that. And certainly, in my experience, is that. Especially when I was a boy growing up, I mean, it was the other world, the world I grew up in, actually. And so it was a delight to write the book, you know, because it took me back to my childhood and just the appreciation of it was another planet, actually.
So, you know, but we don't have to go to Africa to create that out of the peripheral living. I mean, you know, to live beyond the periphery of our, you know, standard living, I guess. And you know, I was going to say something about, I made a major change in my life. And now I think that if people don't say I'm really weird or like, you know, like, what are you doing? So I feel good when they say that because I know that I'm on the journey that I should be on. I don't want to live everybody else's life. I don't want to go on that same path that everybody else is on. So I like when people say that, oh, you're really weird or you're really different or, you know, I can't imagine what you're doing this for. You know, it's like, okay, then that's just confirmation that I'm on the right path.
Exactly. You see, and although, like you were saying, the last shaman, you don't have to go to Africa to experience that. And, you know, people, when I tell them about my childhood, and if I told you now, you'd also, a lot of people be going, oh, wow, that's amazing. What a lucky person that they had, you know, I didn't have that. I had a boring or an ordinary childhood or a life. But there's no such thing. Is when you get on the track of your life, it is extraordinary. It is, you know, brilliant. It is amazing and it is an adventure. And I fully agree with you. You're going to have a lot of people telling you at first, you know, because it's a reflection of what's going on for you. Have a lot of people disagreeing with you and telling you that you can't do what you do and that you're wrong to think what you think. And, you know, it's going to be confronting to them because you're going into a territory that, you know, they don't want to go into. And so we want to collude with each other and keep each other, you know, this side of the boundary. It's like when Marco Polo went to the East, you know, and discovered China and all that. I don't know if you know this, but citizens of the West, of the Western world, of Europe, weren't allowed outside of Europe. He had to get permission from the Pope to take his journey because
– oh, wow.
Want people to experience what was out there that was different to the way they lived and the way they believed things and saw things, etc. And you know that's very telling of human nature.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to stop. So let me just remind people that, you know, buy this book. It's tremendously inspiring and empowering. It's called The Last Shaman by William White Cloud. He also has another book called The Magician's Way. And you can find out more about William and his courses. I forgot the name of it already, but
After Your Destiny, then.
Yeah. So www.williamwhitecloud.com. You can find me on www.energizeforjoy.com. I've got free videos of how do you do simple exercises to rev up your energies and live sustained, radiant lives. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Please join us again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Thank you again for tuning in. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.